European American Evangelistic Crusades welcomes you to this teaching presentation. This teaching with Pastor John S. Terrell was recorded at Resurrection Life of Jesus Church. For questions regarding this teaching, or for a catalog of teaching tapes, or for a teaching magazine called The Dove, visit us at www.eaec.org. And now, let us begin our teaching with Pastor John S. Terrell.
Praise God, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church on January 23rd, 2000. And this is my 14th sermon on Earth, God's University of Faith. If you're listening to us by video, television, audio cassettes, if you're here and you missed my 13 previous ones, I would urge you to either write us or go to the bookstore after the service today and order your copy. Let's just pray right now. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you right now for these moments that you have given us together. We thank you, Father God, for the victories we have seen in our personal lives. We thank you for the victory that's going to be in our lives today and tomorrow. And Father, just let your Holy Spirit right now move mightily as we open the Word and as we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to take you quickly to Galatians 6:7. We will just do a little repeat here this morning. The topic is usually the same. That's Galatians, the 6th chapter. And we pick it up in verse number 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to the flesh shall have flesh and corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. God has mandated this subject we must study this University of Faith. But God has given man a free will to succeed or to fail. Now, this is the difference between socialism and communism. Socialism and communism do not want anyone to succeed, neither to fail. They just want to make a mashed potatoes, very bland of everything, except the crop that will live as parasites of the workers. But in God's kingdom, he has given us a free choice to either succeed or fail. Most of you here today have decided that you want to succeed. As we heard a testimony of Mo here earlier today, and those of you listening by audio, you would almost have to ask us for a music tape to get that testimony. It was recorded on a different tape. We can see, as this man was in a position where he was away from his family and in a position where he was constricted from movement, that he could do two things. He could either fail or he could simply succeed. And this is what I want us to look upon today when it comes to faith. We can either succeed or fail. We have an opportunity. I want to share this illustration with you. Go back to my seminary days. 1970, and I had to take classes at Napa State Mental Hospital. And I had to do semester and go there so often a week. And the professor was very careful. We asked before, we were about six or seven students at each class, and we asked, you know, what exactly are we to do there? He says, I will teach you when we get there. So I drove up to my first meeting where I was going to be introduced to some mentally sick people. And I expected him to guide me and to have me receive a little office. But I would sit down and hang out a sign, I'm a Christian minister in training, and you folks come on in, I'm going to help you poor guys. So we had us in the waiting room, and they disappeared one by one in different wards, and finally it was my turn to go. So I just followed him, and we came to the door. You know how they close the door, they're locked. So he opened a door, and let me in first. I said, well, he's a teacher. He opened the door, I walk in. So I walked in, and he slammed the door behind me, and there I was. And I looked upon him, and he just disappeared. I was locked in for 4 hours. No instructions. I looked around at about 50, 60 people. Half of them were females, half were males. And each one, you know, had their own problems. And I suddenly got very depressed. And I felt, man, this is not fair. What's a guy doing to me? You know, how can he do things like this? So I sat down on a chair, and I just sunk in despair, thinking, you know, man, I got to sit there for 4 hours. Then I felt somebody tap me on the shoulder. I looked over. Here was a patient. He said, can I help you? That woke me up. Ah, you're the patient. I'm the minister in training. I'm supposed to help you. It was the best training I ever had. I learned how to work with people that are either very demonic or very mentally sick. I had a choice to succeed or fail. Let's talk about faith today. This is one of my favorite subjects. Turn to Romans chapter 4. Romans, the fourth chapter. And we read this: without truth, integrity, and love, there can be no faith. Without truth, integrity, and love, there can be no faith. What should we then see? That Abraham, our father, is pertaining to the flesh is found. For if Abraham were justified by works, he is whereof to glory, but not before God. For what says the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now to him that works is the word not reckoned of grace but of debt. But to him that works not but believes on him that justified in God, his faith is counted for righteousness. Abraham was saved by faith. As we studied last week, you found out that Abraham started out being a liar, and it took some time for God to get the lying spirit out of him. But eventually, Abraham had truth, integrity, and love, and he became the father of what the Bible calls faith. Faith in God. Faith is born in an intimate relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 11. The Gospel of John, chapter 11. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and his sister Martha. It was that Mary, which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, whom you love is sick. Here are three siblings, two sisters, one brother, and they were friends with Jesus. Notice not this point, they were friends. And when Lazarus got sick, and he must have been deathly sick, the sisters simply said, we're gonna send word to Jesus, because if anyone can help us, it would have to be Jesus. I want you to see now verse number 4. When Jesus heard that he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and his sister and Lazarus. When he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Look upon this. Jesus did not rush to the aid of Lazarus. He could have rushed over the first day and just laid hands if he had been delivered from his sickness. But you see, Jesus loved Lazarus, Martha, and Mary so much that he wanted a deeper relationship with them. And the only way he could have a deeper relationship with them was for Lazarus to die. Sometimes you ask God, why, God, will you not heal me right now? Why does it not happen now? And God is saying, I want a deeper, closer relationship. And if I fix you now, you will run and you will not be with me. Verse 7. Then after that, says he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples said to him, Master, the Jews have laid sought to stone you, and go you thither again. Jesus answered, are they not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbles not, because he sees the light of his world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbles, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he should do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest in sleep. Then said Jesus to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. He knew it. And I'm glad for your sake that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, and his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. That's how much faith he had. Then when Jesus came, he found he had lain in a grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh to Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Look in verse number 20. Martha was the one who was taking care of the practical things. Mary was one of us spiritual, but this time Mary got spiritually paralyzed. And she simply could not function. This is what Martha is telling her. Then said Martha to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. How many times do you not argue with God and say, God, if you would have just done this, this would not have happened. But I know that even now, whatever you will ask of God, God will give it to you. Jesus unto her, your brother shall rise again. Muster unto him, I know he shall rise again in the resurrected last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Look at those verses today. You read on before. Do you really believe that Jesus is the resurrection of life? And if you believe in him, you shall live and you shall never die. I've spoken this at many funerals. You that are here that are saved, we will never die. Your body will die, but you will step out. You will be as alive as when you go home at night. You take your clothes off and lay them on a chair and you go to bed. You don't lose consciousness. You take your clothes off. You are as alive with clothes as without clothes. And that's the same thing with a body. When we die, people say, yeah, they die, he died. They cannot talk to you. But you will see, you will hear, and you will move on as the angels pick you up. This is a beautiful passage. That's why a Christian should never have any fear. She said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, which had come to the world. And when she said, so said, she went her way and called Mary's sister secretly, saying, the Master's come and calls you. As soon as she heard that, she rose quickly and came unto him. Now, Jesus was not yet coming to town, but was at a place where Martha met him. The Jews then were within the house and comforted her when they saw Mary, and she rose up hastily and went out to follow, saying, she goes into the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come, when Jesus was and saw him, she fell down the feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping with, came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Verse 35, two words. Jesus wept. Why do you think Jesus wept? I believe he wept for two reasons. For their unbelief and for the vast masses of people that are going to be thrown into hell someday, actually lake of fire later. He knew he was going to raise up Lazarus. That was not a problem. But he wept when he realized how hopeless humanity is in unbelief and how lost we are. It doesn't take a whole lot to set us off. You can be singing one minute, praising God, and it only takes one little needle stick and your balloon is punctured. And there goes the joy and everything else. We are so fragile. And God wants to strengthen us that we will not be so fragile, but we shall be able to maintain our joy. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning and said, come to the grave. It was a cave and a stone laid up on it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Before you have a miracle, you've got to have faith. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time he stinks, for he's been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said not unto you that if you would believe, you should see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you heard me. And I knew that you hear me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that you have sent me. And when he had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave cloth. His face was bound up with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. This must have been a sight. Here comes his corpse walking out in grave clothes, looking like a mummy. And just walking out. And Jesus said, loose him. And he was whole and alive. The men of the Jews, which came to Mary and had seen the thing Jesus did, believed on him. Look at my outline, with her, what God had me to write down. Martha and Mary were friends with Jesus. But after the resurrection of their brother Lazarus, Jesus became their Lord and Savior. A lot of us have Jesus as our Savior, but we have not made him Lord, because we don't know him that well. We haven't spent that time with him. And Jesus wants you and I to have him as Lord and Savior. Not only Savior. What a sight it must have been when these three siblings celebrate, had dinner that night. Can you imagine sitting around that table? I'm sure they were poking him and saying, how do you feel, Lazarus? Hey, you're real, Lazarus. What happened when you were dead? We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us this. Eventually, Lazarus died, and so did everybody else. But Jesus rose from the dead. Do you want faith? God has faith for you. Now, faith is a spiritual substance, a gift from God to believe when we cannot see, smell, hear, and touch. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Sometimes God allows us to have accidents and problems because he wants to teach us faith. Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Faith is a spiritual substance, a gift from God. Now let me have a correction in the Christian realm here. God does not have faith. God does not need faith. People living in heaven do not need faith. They have seen reality. Faith is on this side of eternity while we are hoping, waiting. This is where faith kicks in. And faith is a tremendous, powerful thing. Faith moves God. Because God wants us to have faith in him, to believe that he is. What's the most devastating thing that can happen to you and me? It's when you are telling somebody, you might be telling them about a computer, you might be teaching them about something else, and you're simply saying, well, this is how it works. And the person look upon you and says, how do you know? Or are you sure? How does that make you feel? You feel terrible. You feel betrayed. You says, well, I know. Well, how do you know? Can you guarantee that to me? It's devastating. And when we have unbelief, that's what we do to God. We simply say, hey, God, this is bigger than you. I'm such a big problem, you can't handle me. God, this is going to go down the toilet. You can't handle this. And it grieves God. Faith is a spiritual substance, a gift from God to believe when we cannot see, smell, hear, and touch. Faith is something that you want to have when things are collapsing around you. I'm trying to be careful what I share, but this comes back to me time and time again, and this is open this morning. This goes back about 3.5 months or so. And there's going to be a sentencing for Mo. And my wife and I had gone there, and his wife was there. And the Holy Spirit had prepared me and said, it's not going to go the way everybody thinks. And as we were there, we got a judge, and he was not very friendly. And he simply said he's going to go to jail. His attorney stood up and said, well, sir, can he have 2 weeks to prepare himself? And the judge says, he's going right now. And I saw that bailiff just go over. And you know how you do it? You just stick your hands behind. Here comes the handcuff. You're gone. No questions asked. Here I was. And then the Lord simply said this. He said, take your wife and take Angela with you and just go and minister to her. So we took her with us. And in faith, I knew that we had to build this woman up. We had to go in and undergird with prayer and understanding. And step by step, God did it. I'm not building myself up, but what I'm saying is this. If we were to collapse, this is, oh my God. Oh Lord, this is bad. Somebody had to pick up the pieces. And this is what God wants you and I. He wants us to grow up. So we can pick up the pieces of those people that are collapsing around us and hold them while God is doing a work on them. I knew that things are going to work out. We knew that because of faith. It was faith that moved Jesus. Turn to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew, the 8th chapter. Faith moves Jesus. Let's just read from this verse 1. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Look upon those words. Leper, worse than cancer. If you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be you clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. You will never find a place in the Bible Jesus said, I will not heal him. Timing is different. We need to come into God's timing. God healed this man of leprosy. He was healed immediately. And then we read him when Jesus was entered the Capernaum, verse 5. There came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lies at home sick and palsy, grieves and tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will, come and heal him. Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion was a Roman soldier, officer. And he said, Lord, I'm not worthy. Did you come under my roof? But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. From a man under authority, having sold unto me, and I say to this man, go, and he goes, and to come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, that many should come from the east and the west shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to the centurion, go your way. And as you have believed, so be it done unto you. And his servant was healed in the self same hour. And Jesus said to the centurion, go your way. And as you have believed, so be it done unto you. And his servant was healed in the self same hour. The Lord brings me back to Moab again. I want to share this with you as the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. You know, when you get sick is one thing. If you get arrested is another thing that you want to talk about. And most people are simply probably just said, well, you know, I'm not going to go back to that church again because I'm ashamed. But you see, this is where faith comes in, and this is where a man is a man and a woman a woman. Mo made a mistake. He asked God for forgiveness. God forgave him. He's forgiven. And he's able to face. He's just as clean today as any one of us. And any one of us could handle, end up in a situation where we get embarrassed. This is what you want to have, this kind of faith. Where you simply said, I made a mistake. But you're willing to ask for forgiveness, willing to confess and change and then go on. Those are the people that go far in the kingdom of God. The rest of them get stuck by the side of the river. And they get stuck in pride. Go your way. And as you believed, so be it done unto you. And his servant was healed in the self-same hour. And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the evening was come, they brought the men that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirit with his word, that healed all of her sick, that he might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities. And he bare our sicknesses. And Jesus healed all that were sick. You might wonder, why did we name this church Resurrection Life of Jesus? We didn't sit down and figure out the name contest to get the name. This is given by God himself. And he said, you call it Resurrection Life of Jesus. What is resurrection? Resurrection is when you come back from the dead. This is a place where people have come back to life from dope, alcohol, broken marriages, difficulties. This is a place where God resurrects them and make them whole again. That's why he named it this church. And God, in faith, is doing it. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead yet speaks. By faith, number of years ago, probably 12 years ago, we produced a dove. There was a lady living in this town that lived less than 10 miles from us. And this lady was a, what I call a sardine. She was a smoking lady. Had a lot of problems with smoking. Now, one of the doves ended up in her sister's hands. Her sister was going on a trip someplace, flying out of the country, and sitting in an airplane, she read this copy of the dove, came back to town, gave this to the sister, and said, "You ought to read this." After some time, the sister decided to go and check this place out. And she came here. And I do not know how long she had been here, when we're going to pray for her. And you know, God is really humorous, because, you know, I like to do things in order. I like to line you up, get my ducks in the order in a row, you know, and just go down step by step. So we talked to this lady, and she said he had a smoking problem, I can't quit. You know, she was really engrossed in it. And we said, okay, we'll take care of that lady, we'll take care of that lady. So I did a preliminary prayer, my wife just did a preliminary prayer. And we bound up the spirits. The lady walked out. And the normal thing in walking out was for her to get to the car and stick one of these cancer torpedoes in, you know, to make sure that she go cover herself up. And she had no desire. She said, "Well, I guess I won't smoke now. You know, I don't need it right now." So she came home. And she didn't have any desire to smoke when she came home. And she was delivered just like that. Now, that's not according to the rule books. See? I want to do this just right. Well, if you think I'm telling you a tall story, it's a tall lady. Her name is Lois. She's right here. And she had a testimony in the dove some years back. But that's how she got delivered. That lady would throw the demons out. You see, you never know how God is going to work, but it is by faith. By faith, Abel was saved. Look in the outline. By faith, Enoch was taken to heaven. And look in verse number 6 now. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God is simply saying this: you cannot please me unless you have faith. Let me ask you this: if you have a married couple, and the wife is constantly asking the husband, "Do you love me?" He says, "Yes, honey, I love you. Here's a kiss." 50 minutes later, she says, "I'm not sure you really love me. Do you love me?" "Yeah, honey, I love you. I'll give you 2 kisses this time." Now, if that woman continues for a week, 4 times an hour, saying this, "Do you really love me?" What do you think would happen after a week? He's going to say, "I don't know." You see, faith. We don't question. We move in it. And it's wonderful when we can live in that kind of faith. Look in verse number 7. I've preached this before, but I wanted just to preach a little bit more. By faith, Noah, Being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the Savior of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now I think that we take Jonah for granted. When you and I get up into heaven, I'm going to go over and talk to Jonah and say, now Jonah, not Jonah, but what did I say? Noah. I'm going to say, Noah, tell me, what did your wife say when you came home and told her you're going to build a boat? What did your wife say when you begin to lay out this huge boat in a backyard and you stomped on all her beautiful flowers? What did your mother-in-law tell you 15 years down a project when you were preaching and you were building this huge boat? What did they really tell you? Can you imagine hanging out for 120 years? You talk about Disneyland. I believe that Noah was Disneyland in those days. I believe that simply people after about 20 years, they simply, you got to go down and see this crazy guy. He's building the biggest boat ever seen in a backyard. He's totally out of it. And I think there are probably guys standing there, you know, selling camel dogs and other things, you know, just vendors, you know, and saying, here comes Noah! You know, when he comes out to go to work in the morning. And they go, look at him. Now, do you understand what faith is? To take that kind of ribbing, to preach to them and say, look, repent, repent, repent. It's going to rain. Yeah. Yeah, Noah, Sunday's going to rain. It's going to rain when your brain flops out of your head. 120 years he stood there. How long have you stood in faith? You see, our problem is this. We say, oh God, I got faith. As long as I feel good, the sun is coming right, the wind is there, and no one is cursing me. I have faith. And God is simply saying this, that's a chocolate Christian, it's a Sunday Christian. I want you to have faith. When you see nothing, you hear nothing, you're all alone, things are collapsing around you, that's when you have real faith. Let's move on. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to the place where he should go, where he should after receive an inheritance, obeyed. He went out not knowing whether he went. Now I want you to understand something. When Abraham left, he didn't leave alone. It was about 1,000 people. You see, Abraham had at least 1,000 men and women. It was a corporation. Cattle, camels, horses, donkeys, servants, armed, trained men. This was Abraham's corporation. He was a rich man. And I want to ask Abraham, what did Sarah say when you told her that we are leaving? Because remember this now, after they left, Sarah never lived in a house again. She lived in tents after this day. What did Sarah say when Abraham came in and said, look, honey, we're taking off. We're taking everything with us. Where are we going, Abraham? I don't know. We're just going someplace. God spoke to me this morning. Could it be that someone said, let me feel your forehead. How hot are you? Did you have some mushroom last night? It took faith. What do you think Abraham felt when he walked out and he told his 1,000 servants saying this, okay, folks, We are getting this whole operation up on the road, and we're going to move out into the desert and keep moving until we find where we're going. Can you imagine the women and the boys and the girls saying, well, where are we going? When are we going to get there? How long is it? This is faith. Sure, God could have simply said, all right, Abraham, here's a map. You're here. You're going there. And I got supplies over here. Your son would be born there. He could have laid his whole life out for him. What would have happened to Abraham? Would he have faith? No. And this is what God does with you and me. He simply doesn't tell us. He simply said, step out in faith, believing that God is going to meet you. Let's look upon Sarah. Through faith, also, Sarah shall receive strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now, ladies, without getting too much gross detail here, think about this. Think now you're up in your 90s. You just turned 90 years old, you're still doing good. And suddenly you're pregnant. Fear would come on. I'm going to get bigger. I'm 90. Will my body hold? What will happen to my bones? She had to have faith to give birth to that child. In those days, they didn't have any Kaiser. Didn't have any hospitals. Didn't have any of the things we have today. Matter of fact, if something went wrong, the child and the mother died in those days right on the spot. But Sarah and Abraham had at this point learned faith. They believed if God started something, he would finish it. And that's what God does. Faith is the motivating gift which gave power to the bloodline that finally produced the teenage of Mary, who gave birth to Jesus, the Messiah. Look we are in Hebrews. Look in verse number 12. Therefore sprang there even a one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in a multitude, as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had the opportunity to have returned. But now, they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called a God. For he has prepared for them a city. By now, they desire a better country. That is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. For he has prepared for them a city. Are you traveling to the city of God? Have you declared in your life that you want to have this kind of faith that will carry you all the way into eternity? God wants to give it to you. In 1963, when my wife and I left our native country of Sweden, we got rid of everything we had except for suitcases. We had a few things stored over there that later was brought over in containers. But I knew in 1963 when I left, when I walked out onto that tarmac, it was hard. Mom and Dad were there. They were crying. My brother was there, a little guy at that time, 15 years old. He was crying. I and his parents were there, and they were crying. And it was a big crying party. But I knew one thing. I will come back and visit, but I will never live here again. I was in a backsliding condition, but God spoke to me to move on. You cannot be attached to physical things. You cannot be attached to sentimental things. You got to simply focus your eyes upon Jesus and say, Jesus, wherever you lead me, I will go. And he will give you that faith. I'm glad today that I'm here and not there. Now, turn to Psalm 71. I want to hit this hard. Psalm 71. And I want you to see what the sentence God gave me here. Faith only grows in the valley, not on the mountaintop. You see, when we have success, when money's rolling in, there's no sickness, there's no problem, nothing. You don't need faith. So where does faith grow? In a deep, deep valley where it's dark. You can't see. This is where faith grows. Listen to the words of David, King David. In you, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline your ear unto me and save me. Be you my strong habitation, where I may continue to resort. You have given commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the righteous and cruel man. For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust. From my youth. By you have I been held up from the womb. You are he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall continually of thee. My praise shall be continually of you. David was older when he wrote this. He had a son, Absalom, that he loved very much. Absalom rebelled, took away the kingdom from him, forced King David to flee out into the wilderness, and Absalom would have killed his father. He simply got word and said, when you find King David, show him no mercy, kill him. How do you like to have a son like that? This is where David's faith was growing. And you know what David said to his men of war? He said, when you find Absalom and capture him, don't hurt him. There was a father's love. If the son was going to kill his own father, he said, don't kill him. He's my son. I still love him. This is where faith grows in the valley. No wonder that God said that David was a man after his own heart. And then he said, let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your honor all the day. Cast me not off at a time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength fails. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul to counsel together, saying, God has forsaken him. Persecute him, take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed, that adversaries to my soul, and be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually, and will yet praise you more and more. My mouth shall show forth your righteousness and your salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers of us. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, even of yours only. And then verse 23. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto you. My soul would you have redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of you right all day long. For they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. Faith only grows in the valley. Now we are traveling here, and some people ask, what's the vision of this ministry? The vision of this ministry is to have a visitation of God, where we have an outpouring of the Holy Ghost, not for a show, but when people genuinely repent and seek the Lord, He heals us, and then the masses will come in and become saved. That's our goal. That's what God wants. To get there, we have to prepare ourselves. We need to seek the Lord. The reason you're in the valley right now is because God wants to grow faith. He wants to bring you up to the mountaintop. And He wants you, when you come to the mountaintop, to have the faith you need to survive. Let's look upon these few things here as we quickly hurry up. Turn to John 3:16. God wants you to have faith for the following things. As I wrote this Friday night, by the way, you must say, when did you do the sermon? The sermon was done Friday night about 7 p.m. That's when God finished it for me. In John 3:16. Look in this verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The first step we got to do is to have faith to believe that God loves you and me. It took many years before I understood that God loved me. I could not really love myself. I consider myself just a dirt bag, just a piece of slime that God saved, you know, and there was nothing worth in me. That's really how I saw myself for years and years, even after I was saved. Until God delivered me from that tormenting spirit. And He showed me that I'm His child. I've been washed in the blood. That I'm precious in His sight, not because of me, but because of Him. I'm somebody in the kingdom of God. You see, I can't love someone else unless I love myself. If I do not know that God loves me, I can't love you. Ask God to give you faith. Some of you already know this. Praise God, move on then. The second thing we got to have faith with is that God forgives us. Turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans the 5th chapter. We got to have faith that God will forgive us. In Romans chapter 5, we read this, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man some will even dare to die. But God commands His love toward us, in that we, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being not justified by His blood, we should be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. He loves you. He has forgiven you. God has forgiven us. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then in Romans chapter 10, just move up a little bit. We got to have faith that God has saved us. Romans 10:8. But what says it? The word is not even in your mouth, in your heart. That is a word of faith which you preach. That you should confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, and you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes to the righteous, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. For the scripture said, whosoever believes in Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between a Jew and a Greek, for the same Lord of all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You got to come to the place, it doesn't matter what you've done in your life prior to your salvation. It doesn't matter what you've done in life past, what you messed up. If you have asked God for forgiveness, you are forgiven. Period. Washed in the blood, and the only one remembering is you and the devil and your enemies. You bring it up to God, and God says, I don't remember. But God remembered how wretched it was. He says, I don't know. I don't remember. All I see is the precious blood of Jesus all over you. Have faith to believe that He saved you, and that your past is clean. Some people say, well, I kind of got to pay for my sins. No, you don't. He did. You might have to pay for consequences, but you don't pay for your sins. And then back to Matthew 8:14. Have faith that God will heal you. Matthew 8:14. And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. Jesus healed. Why? That he might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying himself took infirmities, and he bare our sicknesses. When Lois came into this ministry some close to 12 years ago, she smoked for many years. And I remember she gave me some books. And it took me 6 years to get the smoke out of these books. They still stunk. Finally, after about 6 or 7 years, the smoke disappeared. But you see what I want to bring out this does? God healed her lungs. She should have had cancer. She should have had a bronchitis. She should have all kinds of things. He healed the lungs and he healed the body. Because in his mercy, when she repented, she was delivered. He healed her and restored even her singing voice that she had lost before. Look upon that. Have faith that God is healing your body. Don't think, well, I was so wretched, I can never be happy in my life. That's a lie from Satan. God is in the restoration business. And then turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 28. And why do you take thought for raiment? Consider lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil, not neither they spin. And yet I said to you that even Solomon, all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, where we all should be clothed. For after all these things that the Gentiles seek, we Heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. It doesn't mean that you don't work anymore, but you don't sweat it. God will open doors. Have faith that God will take care of your needs. Look upon these points right there, because if you can grasp them, have faith that He loves you, that He has forgiven you, that He saved you, that He's healing your body, and that He is taking care of your needs. And then closing scriptures in Psalms 138. Psalms 138. This is how God wants us to respond. This is King David again. I love him for the man he was. He had a lot of pain, a lot of mistakes. He sinned badly. God forgave him. He repented. But he ended up singing praises to God as he finished. I will praise you with my whole heart before the gods. Now, when you read gods with small g, that means the angels, good and bad. Before the gods will I sing praise unto you. When the demons come and visit you, it's a time for you to sing praises to God. Simple says, oh, demons, you want to visit? Well, how nice. We are just going to have a little praise party here. I'm going to hear you now praising the Lord. And you know these demons are going to go, let's get out of here. Because they want you to whine. They want you to cry. Oh, poor me. Poor me. And the demon says, beautiful. One more time. See? I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto you. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and for your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. In the day when I cried, you answered me, and strengthened me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, when I hear the words of your mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. To the Lord be high, yet yes, respect unto the lowly. Underline that. Look at that. Through the Lord be high, yet he has respect unto the lowly. That's us. We're nobodies. But the proud, he knows afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will receive me. You shall stretch forth your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Look upon that. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. He's cooking us. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Forsake not the works of your own hands. I will praise you with my whole heart. As I share this message with you on faith, what are you going to do about it? You're going to say, okay, huh? He's over a little bit long-winded today, but, you know, it's okay. Have a nice lunch. Forget it. Are you going to sit down today and say, Father God, I want to grow today. I want that faith. Do you really know that God loves you? Not with your mind, but in your heart. Do you really know that? Do you know in your heart that he has forgiven you? Have you forgiven yourself? Have you been able to say, I forgive myself for all the years I wasted? I forgive myself because I'm forgiven. Have you accepted that he has saved you? Are you receiving healing in your body? Do you believe that he will take care of your needs? If that's the case, then praise him. Let's stand for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and praise you today for this faith that's available to all of us. And Father God, this is a victory Sunday today at Resurrection Life of Jesus. It's a victory Sunday, Lord. The devil had all kind of plans, and he lost big time again today. His works were smashed. Jesus is glorified. And Father, I just pray right into faith to arise in all the people here, those that are watching me by video or television, those that are listening to by audio cassette. Let faith arise. And Lord, help us today to confess our unbelief and to say, Father God, touch me. You that are watching me right now by a video or cassette, you might simply say this, well, what can I do? Right there where you are, you say, Father God, forgive me. Forgive me my unbelief. If you're not saved, you say, Father, forgive me. I want to be saved. I want to have Jesus, my Lord and Savior. I repent of my sins. I'm sorry for what I've done. Jesus, come into my life and be my Lord and Savior, and He will. He will change. God will touch you. Right as He called us, if we're still here on earth. But God will take care of you. I'm glad you came. May the Lord bless you richly, is my prayer. Amen.